first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringster.com, where you can go and get all of the latest shenanigans that we're into, including recent podcasts of this show, and any investigations or stories we're out there doing today. While you are at LouisvillePolitics.com, please make sure you join our email newsletter and our RSS feed. Our email newsletter will make sure you get everything we do delivered direct to your inbox on a weekly or a monthly basis, your choice. And the RSS feed, of course, will get you directly to the show. While you're there, if you're so inclined, we certainly depend on you guys for all the help we can get to keep everything alive. Please use that handy-dandy donate button on the right-hand side of the webpage as well. In the meantime, calling numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you folks that are in the chat room, we appreciate you being there. Please make sure you use the number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. We can get you on air as soon as possible. And for everybody else, we have the chat room live right now. You can sign into the chat room if you want your voice to be heard. You can sign in either right here through BTR. You can sign in using your social media accounts, Facebook or Twitter, etc. In the meantime, with all that said, it is time to roll. How are you, Mr. Martin?
Oh, you know how I am, Ms. Springsteen. Wore out, grumpy. I tell you, not only physically wore out, but we're getting to a point right now. I just wish it was November. It's just like, oh, it's just... sometimes I open my email at home, and I open my email at work, and I open, you know, get on social media, and you just look at it and go, mother of God, how did they find me? You know, just one political ad after another, you know. Ted Cruz is
right.
emailing me. Oh, we need money. I'm thinking, yeah, you and me both, bro. But fatigue is setting in now, so.
Well, you know, I tell you, I'm with you on that, but you know, I saw something earlier you had posted on Facebook, and you kind of took it as you were implying that direct mail was actually down in favor of email and things like that. And, you know, I got to tell you, that's not exactly true on my end of town.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that, because we've got, in my end of town, I've got Julie Denton running uncontested. As far as I know, Julie Rocky Adams running uncontested for the,
mm-hmm.
for the state Senate. And Jerry Miller, you know, I'm glad he's going to be my rep, but he has somebody running against him, but I think they're horribly underfunded, and they, you know, they're just a sacrificial lamb. So, yeah, I'll give you that. My local races are pretty dead, and I don't even think we have a school board race out here this year. So, you know, maybe next election cycle I'll get enough junk mail to start fires with and with burning.
Well, you know, it is fascinating. I mean, I'm continuing to get a lot of junk mail, you know, snail mail, as we call it today, delivered here. But I tell you what's really interesting to me, too, is you see so many desperation attempts by at least one candidate by the name of Alice in Wonderland Grimes. Believe it or not, Ed, I have not been a registered Democrat for years and years. I continue to get bombarded with the snail mail, the email, and everything else from the Democratic Party, anytime they have a candidate running for anything. But fascinatingly enough, Alice in Wonderland Grimes has sent volunteered to my house, my own house, about five times in the last month alone. You know, now you would think that if you had any kind of a cohesive, you know, ground game at all, as they continue trying to act like there's this great ground game, that you would not spend five trips in less than 30 days to the same mailing list and the same walking list people. I mean, how many people do you have to reach? You know, so it's just fascinating to me. And what's really interesting is I've told every one of them that have come to my door, take me off of your walk list. Tell the clowns I don't want your literature. Save your money. Save the time. I don't want you on my property. I've got no trespassing signs up there, say, including political candidates, everything else. They still ignore it. And finally, the last one was yesterday. They walked through my yard, got ready to walk up on my porch, saw me. I pointed away from my door, gave them the message, get the hell out of here. I go back in my house. I just happened to be outside because my mail had just been delivered, so I was smoking a cigarette. And finished my cigarette, went back in the house, and lo and behold, I come out about an hour later to leave. And the idiot had walked back through my yard as soon as I went in my house and decided he wanted to drop one of Alice in Wonderland Grimes' mailer or flyer, whatever the heck they were passing out. It's one of the push cards. Dropped it in my yard underneath my mailbox, which is right next to my front porch. I was livid. I was like, now you just want to be a polluter as well. I don't understand the logic of idiots like that. That is what's driving me insane.
Well, I don't know. You know, even for there's true believers out there. You know, they're just convinced that it, you know, you just need just a little bit more. You just, you know, they're going to be the one to flip you. And it just, you know, amazing. It really is amazing. Like I say, I get them right now. I cannot get off moveon.org's mailing list. Which is, you know, that's actually entertaining sometimes to see some of the causes that come up.
Sure.
A registered Republican, they don't change my email address and not give them the new one, because it is amazing. If I don't know all the members of the U.S. Senate that are Republican now, I should, because I think every one of them is sending me stuff on a regular basis. We're going to be outspent, but there's still a chance to flip the Senate. Oh, geez, really?
Yeah, I mean,
The Senate's a bunch of millionaires, and they're sitting there sending it to my work address on my email. It's like,
oh,
dude,
Lord.
I'm working today, you know. It's like, if I have a cell phone and you know I'm out on the golf course, that might be a good place to send it. That doesn't happen, so.
Well, I mean, it does. It really does get ridiculous, you know. And I mean, you know, these jackwads, and I hate to sound like that, guys, I really do. But when you're consistently getting harassed by the same people over and over in the Democratic Party, they just don't seem to get it to leave you the hell alone. Number one, they don't understand or don't care that they've just alienated you for life. So that's one vote they'll never get. I guess with the 30 million illegals that Obama's trying to get legalized to get Democratic voters in the next couple of elections, you know, maybe they don't care. I don't know. But, you know, when you look at all of this stuff in play, and then you talk about every daggone one of them, give me money, give me money. And I keep thinking, because we both know what it cost for us, you know, when we ran for office to get these, you know, mail cards or push cards or anything else. The cost on those wasn't cheap for us. And these guys pay two and three times that amount to the people they use because they use the political insiders and the people who continue to give them campaign cash. So those costs are greatly higher than what me and you absorb. And they want to spend all of their money at Clear Channel Media and media types like that, which are the top of the line on the rate scale, when they should be advertising with the grassroots guys like us and a few other ones in town that actually have the people that vote. So, you know, it ain't nothing more than a scam. It's always been a scam, and it continues to be. But I tell you, I'm getting very frustrated. And I tell you another thing I'm getting frustrated, the total hypocrisy of these clowns. Last week, you know, we talked about John Yarmuth and his hypocrisy, screaming and yelling how he's going to get involved in Louisville and try to help them force a $10.10 minimum wage on us, when he's paying his own employees at Sonny's Barbecue minimum wage across the board, including his servers. You know, we thought that was hypocritical, and now we've got Alice in Wonderland Grimes doing the same thing. There's a nice YouTube video I just posted on my Facebook account. Just go to Ed Springsteen on Facebook, and you can watch the entire video. But, you know, here's a video by CNN, of all people, you know, calling out Alice in Wonderland Grimes for being a hypocrite, because her dad's company, Huge Ass Burgers, you know, pays minimum wage to his employees. He doesn't pay more than the $7.25 minimum wage. He doesn't pay more than a $2.13 server minimum wage. They pay that. And what does Alice in Wonderland Grimes do? Well, that's my family's business. They're not running in this election. I am. Well, guess what? Alice in Wonderland Grimes serves as the attorney for her daddy's business. She signs all the paperwork for it, so she's as much involved in that business as he is. And, oh, by the way, she also owns an interest, an ownership interest, in some property in their hometown that has been cited and fined by planning and zoning for so many violations, it's unbelievable. But her family's not running in this. Well, if you're part owner of a situation that's created problems, if you're screaming for minimum wage and you're getting paid from that business and everything else, you're a hypocrite. You know, I don't get why these liberals don't seem to understand it.
Yeah, that, and of course her father also owned Lundy's, although I didn't know he owned Huge Ass Burgers, so I won't be eating there anymore. But
yeah.
I'll be eating at Whataburger in Lexington, where my daughter goes to school. But yeah, he also owns Lundy's, and if anybody's ever worked in food service, especially catering, you know, they're not, those people are oftentimes drug in on weekends. It's catering, so the hours aren't extensive, so you're not going to see a lot of 40-hour-a-week employees. And Lundy's, I once looked that up, and they don't publish their rates. You know, it's like, you know, job opportunities, but, you know, they're not out there throwing it out there as to what they're paying. So Lundy's, which is also been, you know, Alice and Daddy's name, you know, Jerry Lundgren, has had his issues, and I think some of them revolve around Lundy's. And, you know, once again, they're in the food service business, and you know they're not paying top dollar, but yet they go there. And even places like Almost Family, which is another Yarmuth family business, you know, they pay some of their employees the market rate, you know, if you're going to be an LPN or something like that. But you've got to show up with education before you hope to track $10 working in a Yarmuth family business. You know, you've got to be LPN, RN, or something like that. You don't just, you know, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart, just taking a person off the street who's willing to work hard, you know, whether it's changing beds or cleaning. Hey, they're not throwing 10-10 $15 an hour, Adam. Not happening.
Well, no, and you throw on top of that, and you throw on top of that and think about it even further, you know, Jerry Lundgren, her dad, essentially is a de facto chairman of her campaign. He's working with the old guard in the Democratic Party, and that's why she's so screwed up. But when you look at this big picture here, all right, you know, it can't say that they don't make money because his business ventures, I mean, Jerry Lundgren is only a name within the Democratic Party because the guy is loaded. He maxes out on Democratic campaigns all the time, including Barack Obama. I mean, at one point, if I'm not mistaken, he gave $43,600 max contribution to something to do with Obama. So when you look at all that, he got plenty of money. He can voluntarily pay those people that those wages. Alice in Wonderland Grimes can make sure that people got paid those wages within her family. And she refuses to do that. Instead, sitting here acting like she cares about minimum wage. Once again, it's the hypocrisy. Let's go to the phones. Paul, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm glad that you all hit my hot button again tonight. Hey, listen, on this whole minimum wage thing and both with Yarmouth and Grimes,
mm-hmm.
Aside from the fact that there is hypocrisy on both of their parts, there's another more important element to this. Both of them, Grimes in particular, is seeking an office in which it is important to be effective by being influential. You have to be effective in order to get stuff, all right? You have to be influential. Well,
sure.
If neither Grimes nor Yarmouth can even get their family to pay something other than $2.13 an hour, how on God's green earth can they deliver the goods when they're members of Congress? Huh? They can't even
so
get
glad.
Their family to do that?
Well, I'm so glad that you went there. You know, and that exactly is it. I mean, you know, you're going to sit here and moan and groan and complain and talk about all of this stuff, and you can't even get your own family to do that. And what's really interesting is, too, you know, Alice in Wonderland Grimes and the rest of the Democrats who are continuing to scream minimum wage hike, minimum wage hike, minimum wage hike, number one, we know that it's going to cost jobs. There's no doubt about that. According to the own estimates by the CBO and every report that's been done, it's going to cost jobs. You may have 1 million people that actually benefit from that, but you're going to lose 2 million jobs from it. So, you know, that's a serious problem. But the real reason that everybody is screaming this minimum wage hike now, and the reason that the Democrats are trying to put their old basis of their elections on this, is because the reality is that if they raise the minimum wage, the U.S. government is going to save billions of dollars a year, and here's how. Because if you take the minimum wage up from 7 1/4 to 10 an hour, all of a sudden you go over that miraculous poverty line that they continue to use as a barometer, and you lose food stamps, you lose housing, all these other things, these social programs are money that the federal government isn't going to pay out. So once you move across above that poverty line, and then you throw in Obamacare, and the situation gets much, much worse. So, you know, that's part of the problem. So it's the hypocrisy. It's the lies and deception. Where do we go from here? How do these liberals, these left liberals, continue falling for this idiocy?
They want to believe.
I was going to say, I hadn't thought of it the way Paul had phrased it earlier, but, you know, it's kind of the way we are around our shop. Is it gets down to leading by example. I mean, I know a lot of times the reaction you're going to get from somebody like the Yarmouth family or the Lundgren family that doesn't pay a minimum wage, yet somebody in their family is out there saying that it should be higher, it should be 10, it should be 15, whatever. You know, a lot of times their logic will be, well, you know, we can't do that because we have to be competitive. Now, if all our competition has to do it, then, you know, we can do it because it puts us on level footing as far as costing things out. But, you know, down the line with Paul said, people, that's called leadership, you know. When we have our meetings every, you know, lately every week at work, you know, that's one of the things that comes up amongst the owners is we're like, you know, okay, we're doing okay, but,
sure.
You know, we do have the conversations. Like, yeah, we got to take care of our employees. You know, whether it's, you know, we look at our health insurance rates and they're going up. It's like, guys, we got to keep it where it's at because, you know, anything more is going to hurt people. So you know, love leadership. As far as our industry goes, I may pay people more than my competition, but it's okay because that's what we do.
Paul, go ahead.
No, Ed's right on that, and that it is a lack of leadership. These two are clearly demonstrating followership because, again, if they can't even get their own families, if they can't get their own families to buy into the drivel that they're trying to sell to everyone else, then they are not leaders. They're followers. They're actually, I don't remember her name, there actually is one California liberal congresswoman who actually pays, I think she has some food service biz, and she actually pays her food service servers more than the minimum wage. She is actually practicing that which she preaches, but she's the exception. She is the exception that defines the norm. Most of those people elected to office, both city, county, state, and federal, who have those kinds of interests in which the minimum wage is paid, they preach a good story, but they don't practice their own preaching. And going right back to what you said, Ed, they are major league hypocrites. Major league hypocrites.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, and that's what makes everything so interesting, because the lies and the propaganda, I mean, you know, it has gotten so bad that even mainstream, the liberal left, progressive, communist mainstream news media, your CNNs, your MSNBCs, are even backing off the Democrat agenda now. You know, CNN is out there telling the whole world about the hypocrisy of Alice in Wonderland Grimes and this minimum wage hike, and telling the whole world about her daddy's business and her involvement. So, you know, I mean, all of a sudden, mainstream news is finally sick of the liberal lies and carrying their water, I guess. You know, and that is a very serious issue. You know, and when you look at this minimum wage hike and how it affects everything, it's incredible, because 11.9 million Americans will basically come over the poverty line if minimum wage is raised, so they're going to lose those benefits. So the average family is getting somewhere around $300 a month in benefits for making 7.25 the social benefits, you know, the progressive benefits that they get, you know. Well, at $3 an hour on a 40-hour week, you're getting $300-something dollars back net, so you're just breaking even with what you're already getting with benefits. And, oh, by the way, costs are going to go up for every good, because everybody is going to have to pay the same cost. There's not a business out there that is going to absorb $3 an hour in new labor costs without passing it on to the consumer, so you are losing ground and you're falling backwards. That's the hypocrisy of the liberal left. It is astounding to me. It really is that these guys, clowns, and I have to call them clowns. I have to call them clowns. They're clowns or magicians. Call them whatever you want. But to think that, you know, that we can be deceived that easily in this country is beyond comical anymore. It's beyond comical anymore. It really is.
Well, I'm going to take issue with you on that. You keep using this collective we. Let me tell you, everybody on this call and almost everybody who listens to your show are not part of that we. We aren't deceived. We aren't the same. We're frustrated that there's so many, as one radio pundit calls it, low information voters out there. They only know what they see on their television. They are not critical thinkers. They're not critical thinkers either. And that's a failure of the public education system. So
I will go with that. I will give you that point. I usually call it the liberal left, and I try to be inclusive, and I use the term we loosely. Okay, I'll meet you with that, but it's not an issue there for me. You know, and then we look at the other hypocrisy. You look at things like Almost Family with John Yarmuth and how his family is benefiting greatly from Obamacare, and there can be no mistake of that, folks. John Yarmuth has more than doubled his net worth in the few years that he's been up on the Hill, and quite frankly, you know, one of the things that Alice in Wonderland Grimes and everybody else wants to talk about is Mitch McConnell being rich. Well, Mitch McConnell's net income is somewhere around 11, or his net worth, I should say, is somewhere around $11 million, up to $11.9 million. John Yarmuth has made more than that, thanks to his position in the U.S. House, since he has been in Congress. And out of that $11.9 million that Mitch McConnell is worth today, that's over a 30-year span, and half of that was inherited from his wife when her parents died. So it's not like he's been out there, you know, sucking at the daggone government trough and filling up his coffers. Clearly he has not. So to sit here and make those kind of comparisons is very important. And I've got to tell you, it's it's very disturbing. You know, I kind of want to take this back real quick. I want to backtrack to the local elections real fast, and I'll tell you why. We're going to get into some other national stuff in a second. But there was a very interesting article on the Courier-Journal late last week, and they were talking about lobbyists and lobbyists' salaries and their pay compensation. Well, essentially, they were talking basically about how so many lobbyists make more money through the first 8 months of 2014. The Frankfurt's top lobbyists have made more money in lobbying fees than Governor Steve Beshear will make his salary all year. They pointed out the fact that Bob Babbage, who was once a governor candidate, was paid $562,000 last year in the first 8 months of this year, just in lobbying fees. And of course, Beshear was once a lobbyist; he made his money doing that stuff. But his annual salary is about $138,000. But what's fascinating here is there was a name that stuck out greatly to me, and only because, you know, I think here in Louisville we are reflective of what really goes on with local GOP offices around the state. John McCarthy is listed on this list. John McCarthy made, representing 43 clients last year, $435,854. Now, why does I bring up John McCarthy? Because a lot of people don't even know who this guy is. Well, John McCarthy is an insider lobbyist. He is Mitch McConnell's right-hand man at one point when it comes to finances. And in my opinion, John McCarthy was implanted here in the Jefferson County GOP only to make sure they could raise enough money to ensure that Mitch McConnell stays in office. He's been very successful at that. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The JCGOP, in my opinion, doesn't do one damn thing to help their local Republican candidates, whether here in Louisville or statewide. It seems like the mission is always on the national races, which is why there has always been a struggle to get any kind of Republicans elected in Louisville and beyond. John McCarthy, of course, his first loyalty is to Mitch McConnell. But here is the hypocrisy there, Ed and Paul. Ed, I want you to answer first. Paul, you can chime in right after Ed. But here's the hypocrisy here. According to this article, you know, the author of Courier-Journal, and that was Tom Loftus, in this article, he only listed those lobbyists whose lobby fees for the first 8 months exceeded $200,000. All right? But here is the hypocrisy and why I bring up John McCarthy. Mitch McConnell, as we know, has stated one of his goals is to eliminate Obamacare. Not fix it, not amend it, but repeal it flat out. It is a big issue for Republicans, and personally I think it's a great issue to get behind repealing Obamacare. But it's interesting because of all the names that are listed in this Courier-Journal article, one thing that they all have in common, each one of these lobbyists are out there lobbying on behalf of healthcare or healthcare-related businesses. Pharmaceuticals, you know, consumer healthcare products, medical care people, you know, they're all involved in lobbying on behalf of these healthcare folks who are benefiting from Obamacare. And I find that very hypocritical as well. Ed?
Well, it's not just Obamacare. And this is one of the things that Republicans, used to hate about me. In fact, when they were going, oh, Obamacare is going to take over 16% of the U.S. economy, I would point out to them that, no, it's going to take over about 6%. You know, because 42% of the health care is already government funded, whether it's, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, already there. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you know, when I hear, and like I say, I'm a Republican, I'm fine, I'm hard to believe, yet when people say, oh, we need to let the free market take over, there is no free market. Just one basically privatized. It was just kind of what you got. and they act like they're bad, but it's not really, it's never really about the citizens. They're knocking around for contracts, knocking around for business, looking for a way to squeeze their competition out. Your business is a Democrat or Republican. Democrats, their credit, they kind of admit that and embrace that. And again, they're full of crap when they sit there and say, oh, it's actually going to save money in the marketplace. And it's not. Yeah, that's true when you're hanging out with them. I'm thinking, please, Mark, as soon as it comes to my mind, my libertarian pedigree pops out. And I just think, you know, free market my ass. That's just a perfect example that there is no free market. If there was, it wouldn't be worth paying people to go up there and plead your case for, you know, on business matters related to an industry like healthcare.
There you go. Paul.
To add to what Ed just stated, since I didn't see this Loftus article, Ed, would your interpretation of this article be a slant or a politically motivated angle to impugn either a particular candidate or a particular group of candidates? Because I have a question that comes to mind.
Well, I tell you, not honestly. In all honesty, Loftus actually, I thought,
okay,
did a very, very good job here.
Okay, so it wasn't a political hit piece, but here's a question that came to my mind as you were talking about that. In his effort to supposedly be helpful in mentioning the problem, did he by any chance spend a little bit of extra time finding out which politicians directly benefit from the support of these industries and to what extent? My guess would be that the Democrats and the Republicans both share get benefits that are going to be probably roughly equal in terms of dollars, because lobbyists don't care about the party. They only care about getting what they want. And since there are statistically more Democrats in the state legislature than there are Republicans, I would think that the Democrats' share would actually be a little bit bigger. So Ed begs the question, with these politicians receiving so much support from the industries that these lobbyists represent, could one say that they're being purchased?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt that they're being purchased. And as far as breaking down by one or the other, Loftus did not do that. You know, that would be something that we would have to do on our own.
Loftus did not do that, and he's considered to be one of the premier writers at the Courier-Journal. He didn't do that.
Good point.
That is, to me, that has long been at the root of the demise of the Courier-Journal. They have pretty good reporters. They have lots. They have hurt. But I guess it's the editorial board or somebody. I mean, when was the last time you saw a good 4-5 expose where they went after it? I mean, they just, they're doing this, like, I actually use them doing this 5th-grade draft. They'll go in, they'll give you a sampler, they do that, they're, I'm here to show you. Does Loftus know who they are? He thinks their ass he does. You know, he did his homework. He knows where the money went. Is the editorial board going to let him do it? Are they going to pinch it? No, apparently they're going to pinch it. Well, they're going to slow it for a slow week. You know, that's a disgrace. That is a shame. I'm telling you, whether you like the Binghams or not, liberal as they were when they were, that would have been the first part of a 5-part series. That's why the Courier sucks.
There you go.
I'll tell you this.
You know, Ed, and I know you'll like it, and Jake Payne, they do what stop. They get the story, they get the teaser sometimes, and then they go, and it's 3, 4, and 5 sections long. Of course they know who did it. Of course it's all right there to be found. But That is the ultimate demise of the Courier-Journal, whether that contributes to their circulation fall off or not. But as far as the quality of the paper and the reason I won't get it, that's precisely it. Because that's the kind of crap you get. It's like they're giving you a piece of a cookie but then they stop. It's just like they're going chapter one, you know, long ago, galaxy far, far away, and close.
Well, I agree. Like, and now
there's so much more there. You know, come on, help us out here, throw us.
Well, at the same time, though, let's give credit where it's due. I just put a link into the chat room. It's an interactive link for the Senate race between McConnell and Grimes, and it lists, you know, where these donations are coming from. It's a contribution list. The last update was September the 26th, and the Courier Journal. I mean, they did. You know, Tom Loftus did include a link to that in this article. So you can go there and see where all of this money has come from and who's paying who for what from the different PACs on down. So, I mean, you do have some basic premise there, but you're right. I mean, he's not going to go that deep or that detailed. Doesn't want to. You know, they have to. But what really is interesting to me, though, is even the Courier Journal seems to be backing out of the McConnell attack and aiding and abetting Alice in Wonderland Grimes. It's fascinating how quick this liberal media will jump ship, and maybe a lot of that has to do with Barack Obama, because I tell you, you know, Obama, you know, he had an event in Illinois, I think it was up in Chicago, right down the street from the high school they named after him, and I tell you, it was really, really fascinating that this Democratic event, filled with nothing but pure diehard Democrat leftist loyalist, started and listened to all the speakers. But when President Obama got up to speak and he gave a 25-minute speech, in less than 10 minutes, you know, the crowd was so thin you could put anything anywhere. They were leaving by the dozen. They were filing out. They didn't even want to hear him talk. You know, so maybe that was finally assigned to the liberal media. I don't know. You know, and it gets even better, Ed and Paul. It really does. You've got Tina Brown, and, you know, you guys probably know who Tina Brown is. But for our listening audience that don't, Tina Brown is basically one of the top three liberal left mouthpieces in media today. The former editor at the Daily Beast and Newsweek, she started her own media company called Tina Brown Live Media, and she is one of these diehard liberal leftists in the world you can imagine. And even she said that Democrats, especially among women, in recent polls has been plummeting. You know, women are even hesitating and plummeting their support of Barack Obama and the Democrat agenda, primarily because women are starting to feel unsafe. She goes on to say that, you know, that she don't think that Barack Obama makes women feel safe. They feel unsafe economically. They feel unsafe with regard to ISIS. They feel unsafe about Ebola. They feel unsafe about the government's response to any crisis. You know, and of course, you start looking at this, and she goes on to say that, you know, Democratic women are beginning to feel a bit like Obama is that guy in the corner office who's too cool for school. He calls a meeting, says this has to change, and doesn't put anything in place to make sure it does change. This is one of the biggest mouthpieces of the liberal left in media today. One of the top three female liberal leftists there are in the country. And she is telling the whole world that women are abandoning Obama and his agenda because he doesn't have a clue. What do you say about that, Ed?
Oh, I agree. I remember, do you remember when Obama got elected? Of course, I like to remind liberals of it. Like, yeah, those of you who put the most faith in him will be the most disappointed when the time comes. But, I mean, you can remember that it was messianic the way the guy was being treated. And, you know, and when he spoke, everybody's like, oh, my gosh, what a great.
Ed, we lost you. I don't know where Ed went. I'm going to put him in a queue in case he comes right back. Well, he fell off completely. Paul, go ahead.
Well, his observation about the Messiah, Barack Hussein Obama, certainly hasn't materialized. In fact, he's done a job of trying to deftly avoid taking responsibility and therefore leadership. And,
right.
I, you know, we're these issues that Ed mentioned, they're people of all stripes. They have certain basic needs and wants, okay? Maslow identified the traits that humans want. Security is very high among them. And with all these threats to the security of the family, women take that stuff to heart, probably more so than men, because they're busy thinking about taking care of the house, taking care of the kids if there are any, taking care of their spouse, taking care of their parents and other relatives that they care about. And all of this stuff is a threat to their ideal world that they are trying to create. And the only thing that shocks me about women abandoning the Obamaites is that it's taken this long. It really does. That's the only thing that surprises me. However, it was inevitable. When you put up Plastic Man Obama, who has absolutely no substance, ultimately, if he's around long enough, people will say, I am worshiping a false god. And they say,
I think it's time to change. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Ed, you're back. Go ahead. We missed your comment.
Okay.
You fell off. Go ahead.
Yeah, as I was saying, you know, when he ran, we were talking, we were knocking things around like post-racial society, you know, and like I say, the photographs were messianic. We were, you know, we were an enlightened country. We could elect a black man. We were to the point we did.
Well, you're right, and I want to point out.
Nobel Peace Prize before he did anything.
He's
going to solve all the problems, which I think, you know, the expectations were too high. So I think they're feeling a little disillusioned, you know, Gitmo's still open, the drones are still blowing stuff up. You know, the rubber hit the road. I'm not going to say that, you know, anybody, not even Ron Paul or somebody, could have rolled back Gitmo or military intervention, but, you know, you ran on it, you promised it, you talked it. You know, everybody talked about what a great orator he was with his, you know, whatever, 6 years of political speaking, you know, all teleprompter, and then we saw him go off prompter a few times, and so boom. I think it all just blew up. Now, you know, granted, the Republicans tried to find every little thing wrong with the guy. That didn't help. But yeah, I agree that it has to do with the, you know, women feeling insecure. And I think after a while, after, you know, 6 years, I think women, like anybody else, they get tired of listening to the same damn message over and over and over. You know, women's right to choose, equal pay. You know, it's like, dude, if that's all you got, you know, we've been hearing it for 6 months, you haven't fixed, you know, 6 years, you haven't fixed anything. Is that all you got? So I look at it as women much on par with men. It's like you just can't keep feeding them the same crap, you know, true or not, and saying that you're defending, you know, they're defending their right to choose and you're fighting for equal pay for equal work. And that's all you've got for them. So 6 years, I mean, I like to think that the women in my life, from mothers down to daughters, would get tired of that, and they'd say, you know, you're going to have to do a little better than that. I can't be bought with those two talking points over and over and over. It becomes an insult after a while.
Well, it's quite honestly, it's insulting anyway to continue having that kind of a conversation, because there are so many reports out there that have proven that you know, that the income inequality, if you will, between women and men is so full of crap. That argument is pathetic. I mean, we have already proved time and time again, you know, that just doesn't exist for the most part. This isn't 20 years ago, so that Democratic talking point has to go away. But I tell you, it's really interesting, though, and here's the problem for me. At least it's going to be a problem, I think, for a lot of people going forward. You know, what is this going to say for future African Americans that run for office? And I tell you why, because the hype to get Barack Obama in there was only racial. That's it. He got elected because he was a black man who could speak like a white guy. Let's call it what it is. Let's call it what it is. Nobody cared that he was reading from a teleprompter. But what we have,
I believe there was even a Democrat who said he's clean looking and well spoken.
And they did, exactly. They did. There was.
Really? Really? This is not a dog show.
But here's the thing. You know, how many future, you know, black folks that are going to aspire to be president are going to be labeled as stupid or incompetent and not worthy of that job because of the failures of Barack Obama? And let me explain this, if I may. Barack Obama's failures are not because he's black. Barack Obama's failures are because he is such a communist leftist that he lives in this ideological world and has never had any idea of what it takes to get by in this world. Barack Obama, I think I was telling, Paul, I might have been talking to you earlier today, I don't know, but Barack Obama, if you put him in a McDonald's and told him to take the fries out of the grease, wouldn't be competent enough to pick the daggone fries up by the handle, shake the grease off, and put them in the fry bin and shake a little salt on them. He doesn't know the first thing about that. He has no real life or world experience. His whole existence has been in academia and ideology. That is why his presidency is such a failure, not because he's black. But when you take somebody, let's throw some names out there. Let's say a Condoleezza Rice, or perhaps a Colin Powell, Alan West, Dr. Carson.
Yep.
Let's go with the names today. Alan West, Dr. Carson. Would they even have a legitimate shot, considering that Barack Obama is now going to be considered a failed black person as a president, not a failed ideologist, as he really is, but as a failed black person? How much is this going to set the race movement back that would aspire to be president? And quite honestly, Barack Obama has done nothing more than increase and make that racial divide more pronounced today than I can remember being from back in the 60s and 70s. Go ahead, somebody.
Well, I don't think it sets him back at all, to be real honest with you. I think, now you name Alan West. Now, here's a guy who I probably would not support. But like Dr. Ben Carson, I mean, to me, it's not about gender or sex or anything. I didn't like Barack Obama because he was a half-term serving senator who hadn't really done anything. You know, it's like, dude, you got no street cred. I mean, you know, is it even other socialist leaning presidents? Like FDR, these guys had some street creds, you know. They came up the normal way, you know, through, they worked their way up. So that's what bothered me about Barack Obama. He was all image, you know, all hat and no cowboy. I think it all comes down to the message too. If when somebody sits there and tells you a village kids all this great stuff they're gonna do, and it's in politics, and they're either lying through their teeth or they actually believe what they're saying, at which point they're delusional. So, I mean, Alan West, I don't think I would support the guy because he's a bit of an ideologue, but not somebody like Ben Carson. If he had a realistic, moderate, you know, this is what I think we can get done kind of message, I myself would pile in right behind him. Condoleezza Rice, would love to see her. You know, nobody has a perfect record in politics, you know, but there's some Liberty people don't like her, but I wouldn't mind seeing Condoleezza Rice nominated as the vice president. You know, she definitely could deal with Russia better than anybody we're working with right now. So, no, I just think it all comes down to the message they deliver. If Dr. Ben Carson were to run and tell us he's going to fix all the problems and I'm going to make Obamacare go away and all that, at that point I would say, okay, you are in la-la land. You're tilting at windmills. You think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm sorry, I can't vote for you because you're shooting way too high.
Paul, what do you think?
No, Ed Martin's, he's 100% correct. The fact that Barack Hussein Obama is actually half black is not going to impact any good, credible black candidates down the road. It's not. It's just not. Americans are, of all political persuasions, are really pretty fair-minded about stuff, okay? We will judge people primarily on the merits of whatever it is that they're advocating. We're not going to hold them responsible for the actions of another individual, such as Barack Hussein Obama, who is a major league incompetent. I'm in agreement with Ed Martin. I don't think it's going to have any long-term effect. All right? I just don't.
Well, I hope you're both right.
I say, on a positive note, like I say, the next candidate who tries to blow sunshine up our ass, as we like to say in the warehouse, is going to get burned. So, I mean, let's face it. How many Republicans are running on, I'm going to repeal Obamacare? Most of them.
Sure.
Does anybody on this phone think they're actually going to do it?
No, of course not. They won't be able to repeal it anyway. I mean, we know that. I doubt very seriously it could be repealed.
Cynicism comes in, like it or not. You know, Mitch McConnell, I'm going to pull it up root and branch or whatever, kind of a strange way of saying it. Since branches are already out of the ground, you don't actually have to pull them out. But, you're going to pull up Obamacare root and branch. One of the latest men you'll ever see. Does anybody believe him?
Well, I tell you, I think you're right about that. And I hope you're both right about, the race factor not being in play here. But this nation is so divided along racial lines, thanks to, in my opinion, racist, Attorney General Eric Holder and his staff. I think Barack Obama is a racist closet Muslim. I don't care what anybody says. It's my opinion. And I think that he has created this divide based along religion, based on race, based on everything else. So I hope that we would be more inclusive and understand this is just a Nimrod who lived in an ideological world without any real world knowledge. And I tell you, if we need another example of just how pathetic his so-called leadership is, let's look no further than this new Ebola czar. A minute ago I mentioned Miss Brown and how she was, turning against Obama and how women felt unsafe. And quite frankly, I think the whole country could feel unsafe. We've got this, Ebola scare, if you will. I personally don't think Ebola will ever reach any levels in here that we would consider epidemic proportions here in the United States. If they do, in my opinion, it would be purely intentional. You could call me a conspiracist all day long for that opinion. But when you look at this, if we are worried about Ebola, why in the hell you put a guy who has been nothing more than a money launderer, if you will, a lobbyist, in charge of something without any medical or healthcare background whatsoever? I mean, let's look at the reality here. Ron Klain is a former chief of staff to Vice President Joe Biden. Folks, I got to tell you, that doesn't give me a lot of faith that this guy has half a brain anyway. Otherwise, he would have controlled Biden. But when you look at this guy, it's not just that. He also was one of the primary factors and key players in all of these daggone green energy promotions like Solyndra. He was writing email back and forth between Biden and Obama and talking about Solyndra, for example. He said that Solyndra would be a great idea. We expect, more than half of these places to go underwater. We expect more than half of these places to fail, but it would be great if you would visit them and act like you care. Even knowing full well that a lot of these places like Solyndra Energy were going to be belly up, recommended that we go ahead and finance them anyway. And when you look at these energy companies like Solyndra, you have people like Nancy Pelosi, Democrat insider, powerful woman in the House. You look at all of these things put in play. The only people who benefited from these failed, bankrupt energy companies were the owners and CEOs that were politically connected. And Ron Klain led the way on that, at least was one of the primary players in that. And this guy has enough experience and enough knowledge and enough common sense to handle something like Ebola without a medical background? I mean, this is the incompetence. Let's reward the lobbyists and forget about the American people or the seriousness of the issue. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, his background in particular I find troubling. That it is so political, but I'm going to disagree with you on the type of person to lead it, because, just like with hospitals and other things like, in another health-based type organization, whether it's a pharmaceutical company or whatever, there are doctors, and they go to school to be doctors, and there are administrators. Now, I think, the good administrators will listen to the doctors, but what we need is a coordinator and an administrator. To be perfectly honest, the further away from the medical profession, the further detached they are. I'm okay with that because, they take their input from the doctors. This is what you've got to do. His job is to implement the doing. The doctors are the ones that are telling him, this is what we need to do. His job is to get it done. And that's, you know, doctors spend their whole lives going to school learning how to be doctors. So this is...
So we need a good organizer, is that correct?
We need a top-notch CEO type that just, you know, maybe even military just locks in and get it in.
How can you have any faith in this, though? I mean, seriously, I think we need somebody with at least some medical background, or at least enough medical background to know how medical works. They don't have to be a doctor, but they certainly have to know how medical research works. They certainly have to know how to put people in the right positions. You know, what I see in Ron Klain is nothing more than a community organizer who has spent his life doing nothing more than organizing Democratic money and rewarding friends. I see Ron Klain on a much smaller level being Barack Obama Jr., and this guy is going to head up something that supposedly is the next epidemic and fear that we're going to have.
Yeah, I agree. This guy in particular, not real happy with the decision. But as I say, I do think you need an administrator. You know, they could snatch somebody from a Fortune 50 company or something. Somebody that knows.
I'll argue that.
But yeah, I'm okay with that. But yeah, this guy, his cribs. I mean, if cylinders in your background, no thanks.
Paul.
Well, again, with as far as it went. And as far as you're on this needing an administrator, I want to add just one little detail to this needing an administrator. I think you need to have an administrator because you're dealing with programs at a national level and the impact and the budget are so huge. I think you need a proven, effective administrator. Okay, proven and effective. Solyndra, I sure wouldn't put that on my administrator resume. Would you guys? No.
Well,
okay.
If you want a government job, you would. Yeah. No, I'm totally with both of you guys.
Obama and crew has a track record of administrators who are incompetent, just like the chief of state. Okay. How about the initial rollout of Obamacare via the internet? How big a fiasco was that? He supposedly had a top-notch administrator take care of that, and they bungled that as well. You've got to have competent administrators with proven track records when you're dealing with the scale that we're talking about here. All right?
I agree. And again, I'm not saying you have to be a doctor to have that position. But I would certainly want somebody who's going to be in that position to be an administrator, at least be a health care administrator that knows how everything works from A to Z when it comes to, you know, the research required, getting the message out, doing all the things that are involved. If you don't have any health care knowledge, you can't effectively administrate anything. You can push paperwork, you can be a bean counter, but you can't effectively administrate anything because you don't know what positions to put people into. And I tell you another thing here that you guys are going to laugh at. You guys remember who Susan Rice is?
Oh, yeah.
Benghazi,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
She goes on a media tour telling the whole world that Benghazi was over some fictitious little YouTube video. Well, here's another indicator of incompetence. Ron Klain will be answering and reporting to Susan Rice and Lisa Monaco, the current Homeland Security Advisor, as if we don't have enough problems. And one other quick story. It's going to take us into overdrive for just a minute, but I want to make sure I put this out there real quick. You know, one of the things that I think the Democrats are finally opening up to as well is how much they were lied to about George Bush. Went to war with Iraq and everything else, claiming there were WMDs in Iraq, claiming that we had to go after Saddam Hussein and stop this stuff from happening. And the media went crazy on George Bush, said he was lying. There was no WMDs in Iraq. Colin Powell went to the UN Council and testified that there were WMDs, and he was portrayed as being a liar and everything else. And quite honestly, based on the available evidence that the government was giving us at that time, I actually questioned Colin Powell's, you know, integrity as well, which was hard for me because I've been a big fan of Colin Powell for most of his career. Well, apparently, we now have reports coming out of the New York Times. Yes, there were plenty of WMDs in Iraq. As a matter of fact, from 2004 to 2011, there were over 5,000 chemical warheads, shells, bombs, and everything else. We had troops that were injured by chemical weapons in Iraq during the time we were there. So all of the stuff that the liberal mainstream media was portraying, the W was lying, has now been proven to be true according to open records requests. So maybe the liberals are finally starting to realize all of the lies that the media has been pounding on them, and maybe they are finally getting to a point where they can open up. I find it very fascinating. There were 17 service members who were exposed to nerve and mustard gases in Iraq. There was over 5,000 chemical warheads, et cetera. You know, we had everything from mustard bombs, you name it, it was there. And all of this was known by the government. George Bush kept his mouth shut instead of putting this stuff out there publicly. And quite honestly, looking back, now that we have this information, one could ask, why would George Bush allow this massacre to occur to him and his presidency? And maybe George Bush was more had more balls, if you will, than anybody. He allowed them to portray anything they wanted to because he didn't want to create mass hysteria and make people think that there was 5,000 chemical warheads that were going to be deployed. Response?
Well, there might be other reasons why George and company were complicit in the cover-up, okay? I don't think George and company were necessarily the best strategists, so I kind of rule out your hypothesis, Ed. I really don't know why, and I don't even have a good guess, okay? But you know, we are told from the earliest moments when we start learning about our country that it's a good thing to be open and forthright about a lot of stuff. When you're getting pounded, like Bush and company were getting pounded in the press, and your country is at risk, why did they go about pretending that this is Disney World and there really wasn't any threat out there to us? I would have think the more responsible thing would have been for them to say, oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen of America, we do have these threats. Here they are, and here's what we're doing to try to keep you safe. But, you know, but we didn't get that. So they were complicit, and again, I don't know why. Maybe Ed Martin has a working premise as to why they were complicit.
We could sit there and string theories together. One being we might have supplied him with a chemical weapon, you know. So that could have been bad news had it gotten out. Another part, you know, like it's been suggested, maybe we just didn't want everybody to know. Maybe, you know, the Gulf War syndrome and stuff like that, we didn't want it getting out that our boys had been gassed. You know, because they possibly could have infuriated the public more, and they would have wanted, you know, more blood. Could have been he was a second-term president. Didn't give a damn. You know, knowing that it would come out sometime in the future, he's in good health. And, you know, if that's the case, then it played out to his advantage. And another part could be that maybe on one hand their data showed 10,000 warhead, you know, chemical weapons, and maybe they only found 5. Maybe they didn't want to tell us that. It was like, hey, guess what? There's 5,000 out there. We can't find it. We knew we were there when we were going in. Damn, I hate when that happens.
Well, you know, I think you just created a logical argument, because when you talk about Gulf War Syndrome started developing after the first Gulf War, when we went in and, you know, ran Saddam out, you know. And so we look at that, and that was a big, big topic back in the early 2000s after Iraq War started against Saddam Hussein himself. When you look at this, we were denying that there were any chemical weapons used during the first Gulf War. So we were denying that publicly, so perhaps they couldn't admit that. I think that's an excellent argument. The problem now is this, though. Now the government can't deny Gulf War syndrome. They just got caught lying, saying there were no, you know, WMDs or chemical warheads in the first Gulf War, because we now prove that they did exist in Iraq just a couple of years later. As far as funding is concerned, there's no doubt we were funding Saddam Hussein all along.
Absolutely. I mean, we know Saddam had him because he shelled the Kurds and he shelled the Iranians with him. So, yeah, he had him and he was known to use them. It could all tie back that there might be a possibility that these things were assembled for civil war, right? Our government at this point you know, if somebody finds out later on that some detonations occurred and Gulf War syndrome or something, might be the net result of American-made agents. We don't know. We don't.
Well, there's no doubt. But here's a really serious issue, though, now. Because these chemical weapons are a very serious topic of conversation, what it should be today, and yet no one in this administration, in the military, anybody is talking about it. But since June of this year, this compound, the Muthanna State Establishment, it's the compound center where the Iraq chemical agent production was started in the 1980s. But since June, this compound has been held by ISIS. And when we look at this, according to a letter sent to the United Nations this summer, the Iraqi government said that they had 2,500 corroded chemical rockets on the grounds there, and ISIS now controls that. Iraqi officials had witnessed intruders taking equipment and everything else out of there before the militants finally got rid of the surveillance cameras, so they have no idea what's going on in there right now. So with 2,500 corroded chemical rockets, all right, and these guys are controlling that compound. ISIS is controlling that compound. You just created a nightmare. You just created a nightmare, and we pulled the troops. That's the scariest thing. We're out of time. Paul, you've been with us for most of the hour. I'm going to give you a chance for final thoughts. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I think that this entire show has been about the government telling us the truth, or in most cases, not telling us the truth. Whether it's the liar in chief or one of the agencies, we're not being told the truth about things. And we have a right to know that to protect our family and our way of life. When they withhold, when they withhold information, they are presuming to know better what's for us than what we do. And that's been the fundamental problem with the way this country has been going now for the last 20 or 30 years. Government proclaims that they know what's best for us better than we do, and that they know what's best for our families better than we do. That goes back to the old monarchy style of government that used to be prevalent, particularly in Europe. And our country was established to get away from that. Now it seems like we're backsliding a little bit. We need to get back on our original track.
Ed Martin.
Well, I'll tell you what, I agree with that 100%. And I would say back to the very first thing Paul said, the government lying to us or you know, not telling us the truth. I'm going to suggest a little mischievous behavior out there. It's like going all the way back to you and your pollster, or you and your pushcard pushing friend. Look, if anybody listening gets a phone call and it's a push poll or a poll or whatever, hey, you don't turn about square plate. Lie to them. don't make me act opposite of what you're going to do. I mean, these bastards, like I said, they're wearing me out. I know they're wearing everybody else out. So they deserve nothing more than for us to have some fun with them. Let's do it at their expense. So my final thought of the day is we've got just a little bit of time left before the elections. If you get the opportunity, spread a little misinformation. It ought to be fun.
Well, for me personally, we have spent most of this show talking about the lies from the government, the incompetence of our so-called leadership. We've talked about the hypocrisy of the liberal left, and we've even talked about how mainstream media, the left mainstream media agenda, is now even having a problem, you know, shoring up the liberal left ideology. You know, the reality is this. The power is still with we the people. It's up to us to make the differences. You know, we continue to complain about all of these things going on, yet most people that are going to the polls and that are voting, you know, in a lot of cases, I wouldn't say the majority, but I would say a hell of a lot of people that are going to the polls and voting are voting based on the lies and propaganda that mainstream media and what little tidbits they get off the news are selling to them. The reality is, if you're listening to this show, you're on the internet. The reality is, when you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, you're on the internet. The reality is, if you're internet savvy, and we know that at least 200,000 people every month are, because that's how many people follow everything we do here at NBM Media, we know that 200,000 people are certainly informed. And we know that those 200,000 people know other people that they could help get informed. But more importantly, you don't have to take my word for anything. You don't have to take the word of Ed Martin for anything at all. Because if you are on the internet, guess what? All you got to do is search. Go to your favorite search engine. I don't care if that's Firefox, Safari, hell, even Google. Go to your search engine and start searching for real facts. Because an informed voter is a good voter. And in this country, when it comes to our elected leaders, we reap what we sow. And quite frankly, folks, we've sowed a hell of a lot of bad seeds. Start doing the research and get involved and quit falling for the lies. That's it for tonight. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, Dale the Truth will be here with his Tuesday Night Truth Show. I will return, of course, on Wednesday and Thursday night, same time, same channel, 7 o'clock right here. Please join in. I'm sure Dale will have a lot to say, and you know I will when we come back. So in the meantime, have a great night. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being here. Take care.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.